The following Stealing the Mind Bible Conference presentation is by Kent Hovind and is entitled, Are the Bible and Pure Science Compatible? For a free catalog of all of our tapes and books, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or on the web at compass.org.
Well, it's an honor to be here at the conference again. It's a great privilege to get to speak here at these Stealing the Mind conferences. My name's Kent Hovind. As Bill said, I taught high school science for 15 years, and now I do seminars all over the place on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. And I take the position that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of planet Earth. When Bill asked me to speak on the topic, is the Bible scientifically accurate? I said, well, that's going to be a 3-second sermon, you know. Yes. Okay, now let's go get lunch. Teaching science for 15 years and traveling speaking on this topic now for 16 more years after that has been just a great blessing. The more I read the Bible, the more convinced I am that book is flawless. I mean, perfect. So read it. Okay. All right, this is not my wife. That's just a picture of her. We live in Pensacola, Florida, what's left of it after two hurricanes, and I have 3 children, 1 of each, and I got them all married, and the dog died, praise God. And so far, 4 grandkids, and that's God's reward for not killing your own kids, for those that don't know about that, okay? Somebody said, Brother Hovind, how many people work in your ministry? I said, about half of them. Somewhere around 40, I think. I don't know. We just keep everybody busy. Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. You know, that's scientifically accurate. There are thousands of animals that require certain plants and plants that require certain animals, called a symbiosis relationship. There's no possible way that's going to work unless they're created within a day or so of each other. That is scientifically accurate. The Bible says God made everything and it was very good. This original creation was perfect. On our videotape number 2 of my blue series of tapes out there, we talk about what the Garden of Eden was like. It was so different than what we see today. The Bible says God said there would be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. When God first made the earth, there was a canopy of water overhead, a layer of air to breathe, a layer of dirt to stand on, the crust of the earth, and water under the crust of the earth. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's. He founded it upon the seas. Psalm 136, he stretched out the earth above the waters. Interesting. Is the Bible scientifically accurate? Is there water under the crust of the earth? There sure is, otherwise you couldn't have the fountains of the deep. There's water shooting up into the bottom of the oceans. Well, where's it coming from? Lower than that. Yeah, the Bible is scientifically accurate. Sure it is. The Bible says all the rivers run into the sea and the sea is not full. Then it says, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. You mean 3,000 years ago, Solomon is describing the cycle of the water that scientists just discovered in the last few hundred years? The vapors ascend from the ends of the earth. Is there vapor ascending up off the earth? That's how you get the clouds. The Bible is 100% scientifically accurate. It describes the hydrologic cycle 3,000 years ago, way before scientists ever figured this out. The Bible says he stretched out the earth, stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Did you know almost all ancient cultures taught that the earth was sitting on something, like the back of a giant turtle or something? Is the Bible accurate? The earth really hangs on nothing? Absolutely. 100% accurate. The Bible says the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth according to his circuits. Did you know the wind actually has circuits? They're called the Coriolis effect. That's where everybody gets the prevailing wind pattern. This was just discovered in the last few hundred years, and God said this 3,000 years ago. The Bible is scientifically accurate. The Bible says, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? They didn't even know there were springs in the sea till 1977. That's when they were discovered. Yes, the Bible is scientifically accurate. There are springs in the sea. The Bible says, where is the way where light dwelleth? Now, wait a minute. Light dwells in a way. It's always moving. But then it says, as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Did you know light has a way and darkness has a place? That's pretty interesting. We know the speed of light, 186,282.4 miles per second. But do you know what the speed of dark is? Zero. Darkness has a place. It stays right where you put it. The Bible is scientifically accurate about light. The Bible says, by what way is the light parted which scattereth the east wind? Here's God telling Job probably 4,000 years ago. Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. There's no mention of the law. And Job lived long enough to have 10 kids. They were grown out of the house and all died. And then he had 10 more grown out of the house and saw his great-great-grandchildren from his second family. So Job had to be living several hundred years to accomplish that. So probably the book of Job takes place right after the flood when people are still living to be 400 years old. Does the light cause the wind? You can ask any weatherman. It sure does. The sunlight causes the wind patterns. Hot air expands and rises. This causes the wind. Exactly like God said 4,000 years ago. Is the Bible accurate? You bet it is. The sunlight causes the wind. You can ask any weatherman on planet Earth. If he knows anything, he'll tell you that's exactly why we have the wind. What about lightning? Lightning's fascinating stuff. We get a lot of that in Pensacola, Florida. The Bible says, canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. Is God telling Job that electricity can be used to send a message? Like radio, microphone, telephone, cell phone? Lightning's fascinating. You know, it not only does electricity involved with lightning, there's an electromagnetic pulse, EMP. And that's how radio waves are transmitted through nothing. They can transmit radio waves through the air or through space. You can talk to the people up there in the space station or on the way to the moon. So electricity, lightning, not only electrically, but electromagnetic pulse. God told this to Job a long time ago. Yes, 4,000 years ago, God said, hey, electricity can be used to send a message. Scientists just figured that out in the last 150 years. The Bible is scientifically accurate. 1799, George Washington was bled to death by his doctors. Because they used to teach back then, if you're sick, you have bad blood. Take out your blood and you get better. There were special places to get your blood taken out all over the country. You could tell where they were because they had a white pole with a red stripe around it. The barber was the bloodletter. And while George is laying there dying and being bled to death, right beside him was a Bible that told him the life of the flesh is in the blood. I would say the Bible is scientifically accurate. Took him a long time to figure that one out, didn't it? The Bible says the Lord sits on the circle of the earth. Isaiah 40:22. You know, the Christians have always known the earth is round. There have been different cultures through time that thought, oh, the earth is flat or something like that. It sits on the back of a giant goose, which is on a turtle, which is on... One guy said, well, what does the turtle sit on? They said, oh, that's on another turtle. Oh, and what does that sit on? Oh, that's another turtle. It's turtles all the way down. Oh, well, that explains it. Sure. Bible says the Lord hangs the earth on nothing, and it's a circle. That's what he told him. And it says, we are like grasshoppers. You know, I'd say we're not very significant compared to the size of the earth. Get up in an airplane at 30,000 feet and take a look out the window. See if you can see one single person. You can't see anybody. We are insignificant grasshoppers compared to the size of the earth. And then it says, he stretched out the heavens. Now, that's interesting. Do you know that phrase appears in the Bible 17 times? He stretched out the heavens. These idiots are always worried, well, how did the light get from the stars to the earth? That star's 10 billion light years away, so it took 10 billion years for the light to get here. Well, duh. They're assuming all kinds of things, okay? See, the Bible says God made the earth first, and then he made the stars also. Let's just suppose he made the earth first, and he made the stars from here, and he stretched out the heavens from here. That means Adam would see the light on day 6 when he was created, and on day 7, and on day 8. At the meantime, the stars are being stretched out into place. So the question is not, how did the light get from the stars to here, but how did the stars get from here to there? Yeah. Bible says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who hath laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together? And the sons of God shouted for joy, and who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as it issued out of a womb. Boy, there's so much science in here. God's telling us, first of all, that mountains have roots. They have foundations. Seismologists have discovered during earthquakes, you can actually measure the thickness of the earth. And under the mountain ranges, there are roots that goes down much deeper. There are actually foundations to the earth. Interesting. Fastened. Is God telling Job about gravity here? Things are fastened down. Interesting. How about the morning stars sang together? It was just discovered in the last 50 years that stars produce radio waves. They actually sing. I don't know if this is true, but it sure preaches good. I bet in the original creation... Excuse me. I bet in the original creation they had a canopy of water overhead that was probably a layer of ice. Just my theory on that. 10 or 20 inches of ice to make the earth like a big greenhouse. By the way, the book of Josephus, chapter 1, says the Hebrews believe that God placed a crystalline firmament around the world in the original creation. Read Josephus, chapter 1. A crystalline firmament. That's interesting. But if you had a crystalline firmament, a super cold ice, say 20 or 30 inches of super frozen ice, like 400 below zero, radio waves can cause it to vibrate and resonate. That's how you do crystal radios, you know. And as this crystal vibrates, it can actually produce an audio sound inside. So probably Adam and Eve were living inside of a giant stereo, and they could hear the music of the stars. That's interesting. And I just wonder if maybe the gospel was all up there in the stars with the zodiac, the 12 constellations. You start with Virgo the Virgin bringing forth the sun. It ends with Leo the Lion coming to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Now, that'll preach. I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounds good. Okay? Yeah. Bible says he shut up the sea with doors. Is God telling Job that the oceans are all kind of confined with beaches? They sure are. He shut them up. When it issued out of a womb, interesting, fountains of the deep broke forth. If you ever delivered a baby, you'll understand that one. What a mess. My best friend in college was standing there, and his wife was standing in the kitchen, you know, going to have a baby, and she's getting ready to cook some breakfast or something, and her water broke all over the floor. She said, "Honey, hurry, get in here, my water broke." He came running in, slipped, and broke his arm. She had to drive him to the hospital to get his arm set. Proverbs chapter 8 tells us, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. What on earth does this mean? Does this mean there's dust up in the atmosphere? Well, that's exactly correct. Otherwise, you couldn't have rain. It's called condensation nuclei. You can't have rain without dust in the atmosphere. God said that to Solomon said that in the book of Proverbs probably 3,000 years ago. Is the Bible accurate? You can bet it is. Okay? God said in Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Did you know for centuries scientists taught the woman only provided the incubator, the man provided the seed? God said at the very beginning, the woman has a seed. It takes half of each, you know, to make the new baby. Scientists didn't believe that for years. God said, I don't care if you believe me or not. Here's my book. You better read it, okay? Is the Bible accurate? You can bet it is. Absolutely accurate. The Bible says, in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. It says in Jeremiah, the host of heaven cannot be numbered. Did you know the last estimate? In 2003, the Hubble telescope focused in on one spot, a little spot about the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length. They looked at that spot for 10 days. They thought there was nothing there. When they analyzed the pictures they took of that spot, they took dozens and probably hundreds of pictures of that little spot held at arm's length, a grain of sand at arm's length. They discovered there are more stars in that spot than they could count. These are new ones they didn't know about before. The last estimate in 2003 was that there are 70 sextillion stars in the universe. That's 11 trillion per person. Those are the ones we know about. We don't even know about the ones that we don't know about. I'd say the Bible is scientifically accurate. The stars cannot be numbered. God even knows the number of each individual one, though. He's pretty smart, ain't he? The Bible says in Genesis, the grass and herbs are going to bring forth after their kind. The animals, the creatures, the living things, the winged creatures are going to bring forth after his kind. God said 10 times in the first chapter, they're going to bring forth after their kind. You know, that's exactly what happens. Dogs produce dogs, cows produce cows, corn produces corn. Everything brings forth after its kind. I did a debate last night at Colorado Springs, what's it called? University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, UCCS, okay. And whatever. How many were there last night at the debate? A couple of you. That was fun. I could do that every day. I love it. But these guys think that, you know, dogs and bananas have a common ancestor. No. I don't know exactly where the boundary for kind is in every single instance, but I know this, they bring forth after their kind. Every farmer on the planet Earth counts on that happening. I mean, when he plants corn, he expects to harvest corn, okay? And every canning company in the world counts on evolution not happening. When they make their green beans and put them in the can and put the lid and the label on it, they expect it to stay green beans from now on. Okay? The Bible is accurate. They bring forth after their kind. The Bible says Solomon made a molten sea of 10 cubits from brim to brim, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it about. Now, wait a minute. That's not mathematically accurate. If it's 10 cubits brim to brim and it's 30 cubits around, we got a problem here. I nearly quit serving God over that verse right there when I was a brand new Christian, age 16, because I was majoring in math and science. I said, Lord, you don't take the diameter times 3 to get the circumference. You take the diameter times pi, 3.14159265. It goes for, some Japanese guy figured it out to 700 decimal places. I said, why? You know, that's close enough, but it never does repeat. Apparently, it's an irrational number. But is the Bible inaccurate mathematically about the distance around Solomon's sea? 10 cubits brim to brim, 30 cubits around? Oh, no, no. The Bible says it was a handbreadth thick. That's a lot of brass, by the way. That thick, solid brass. Well, I got curious about this. I said, it's 10 cubits across, a handbreadth thick. I wonder if they measured 10 cubits outside to outside, including the brass, and 30 cubits inside, because the thickness of the brass wouldn't matter as far as figuring out the volume of the water. So I did a survey with a bunch of folks. I said, can I measure your cubit? Put your elbow on the table. Okay. I measured the cubit, subtracted the handbreadth. I found if you take 10 cubits minus 2 handbreadths and calculate backwards, you'll get a value of pi around 3.14159. I think the Bible's mathematically accurate in every single detail. How many chariot horses did Solomon have? Does the Bible have a mistake in it? It says in 1 Kings chapter 4, Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots. When you read the same story in 2 Chronicles, it says he had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots. Well, which is it? Is it 40,000 or 4,000? Now, Henry Morris, whom I love dearly in the Lord, said, he's got in his footnote of his Defender's Bible, and we sell the Bible and I use it and I love it, but I put a disclaimer with it because I think he's dead wrong about this footnote. He said, this is a copyist error. It should be 40,000. Oh, no, 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 Henry. It's not a copyist error, okay? The Bible's perfectly fine, just like it is. Look at it carefully. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots. Does that tell me how many chariots he had? No. That tells me how many horses he had for the chariots, right? Next one says, he had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots. Well, guess what? They had 10 horses per chariot in case you get a flat tire. The Bible is exactly accurate. And when they do research on this, they find out, sure enough, they had chariot teams that would go out and fight. 10 horses per chariot. Because the chariot does not get tired. The horses do. NIV got it wrong. They blew that one big time. Okay, New American Standard got it right. New Revised Standard got it wrong. How many men did David kill? Was it 700 or 7,000? Well, it says in 2 Samuel that David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians. When you read the story in 1 Chronicles, it says David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men which fought in chariots. Well, which is it? 700 or 7,000? Is the Bible wrong? You better read it carefully. He slew the men of 700 chariots. And later he says he slew 7,000 men which fought in chariots. Well, guess what? They had 10 men per chariot also. For the same reason. They might get a flat tire too. Now, the Bible is accurate. NIV blew it. They said he had 700 charioteers and 7,000 charioteers. You're never going to correct that one. That one's just flat wrong, okay? Yes, is the Bible accurate? I would say absolutely correct, if you got the right Bible, that is. How many died in the plague? Those that died in the plague were 24,000, Numbers chapter 25. When you read the story in the New Testament, it says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Well, how many died in the plague? Is it 24,000, like Numbers says? Or is it 23,000, like Corinthians says? Oh, you better read it carefully. How many died in the plague? 24,000. How many died in one day? 23,000. Well, 1,000 died the next day, okay? They still died in the plague, okay? Is the Bible accurate? Absolutely. 100% accurate. The Bible says all things were created by Him, visible and invisible. Are there invisible things that are created? Like electrons, neutrons, protons, thoughts? Have you ever seen a thought? How about love, emotions like envy, jealousy, anger? Totally invisible. Are they real? Oh, yeah. And by Him, all things consist, the Bible says. They hold together. It's interesting. If you look at an atom, inside you got all these protons stuck together. Well, protons are positively charged. Why don't they bang, push each other away? Nobody knows why. All the protons are stuck together. By Him, all things consist. Okay? What holds these atoms together anyway? I'd have to say it must be Jesus Christ, best I can figure out. Is the Bible accurate? Absolutely, you can count on it. Hey, was the earth ever a hot, molten mass? The textbooks teach the kids the earth started off as a hot, molten mass. It was hot and there were large pools of bubbling lava. Yet the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was created under water. It was not a hot, molten mass. Somebody's wrong. Is the Bible scientifically accurate about the earth being created cold underwater? Well, you should read the research by Robert Gentry in Radio Polonium Halos. He spoke here at the conference a couple of years ago. Great, brilliant man up in Powell, Tennessee, near Knoxville. His website is halos.com. He's one of the world's experts on disposal of radioactive waste. He's discovered radio polonium halos found in granites all over the world. As he studied these halos, he said, now wait. These radio polonium halos have a half-life of about 0.164 seconds. So they're going to make this little ring, like a hand grenade going off in a block of jello, make a ring. But if it was in water, the hand grenade fragments would make their ring and disappear. Suppose a hand grenade went off inside a giant block of jello, the fragments would go out, make a ring, and it would stay there, kind of like the 4th of July fireworks, you know. They don't stay up there in the sky because the sky is too fluid. They fall down. But these radio polonium halos are proof positive the earth was never a hot, molten mass. They've got such a short half-life. If the rock was hot, they would have drifted away. They would have dissolved. God said he made it underwater. He's right. By the way, when you melt granite, it doesn't reform as granite. It makes pyrolite. Granite and the rock and the earth was never a hot, molten mass. It was created cold, just like it says. You see these mountains around here in Colorado, all this big old granite chunks you got here? That was created just like cold, solid granite. Bible scientifically accurate. By the way, they just did a news on Nova TV a couple months ago. They said oxygen 18 in 4.4 billion year old zircon shows it had contact with large quantities of water. I don't think they're ever going to quite catch up with the Bible, but hey, they might be getting a little close in a few spots, okay? Yeah. Hey, do insects have 4 feet? Any biologist will tell you, no, insects have 6 legs. Oh, Bible says in Leviticus chapter 11, he's talking about the clean and unclean animals. He said, but the other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. I do debates all the time against atheists, and they pick on every verse in the Bible they can pick on. They're going to say, see, the Bible's inaccurate. The insects don't have 4 feet. They got 6. I said, you better read it real carefully. Proverbs chapter 30 tells us the spider taketh hold with her hands. Interesting. 4 legs point backwards. 2 legs point forward. Insects have 4 feet and 2 hands. Bible's right, folks. Scientifically accurate. We saw a mosquito on our fig tree the other day sucking juice out of a fig. Bible says everything was vegetarian before the flood came. Atheists always say, well, what do the mosquitoes eat? They have to have blood. Oh, I think they probably lived on fig juice, stuck their beak in there and sucked the juice out. I think the Bible's accurate. Have 4 feet, 2 hands. Very interesting. Kids, if you go to college, some professor's got a whole list of questions ready to ask you to try to trip you up and destroy your faith in the Bible. Don't believe them for a second, okay? If you have any problems, call into my radio program every day. We do a radio program, hour and a half, on truth. Just go to drdino.com or truthradio.com. Tell the professor, call in with the questions. If I don't have it, I'll find the answer for him. The Bible's accurate. We don't have time to cover everything on the accuracy of the scriptures. The Bible's accurate about dinosaurs. It says in Job chapter 40 that they lived with man. God said, behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. Job chapter 40. Bible's accurate, folks. Bible says in the last days that scoffers will come, walking after their own lust. Boy, is that scientifically accurate. I've had 93 debates now against evolutionists and atheists, and they absolutely scoff at the Bible. And the reason they scoff is because of their lust. Not because of their science. There is no scientific reason to reject that book. Some people just don't like that book because it chaps their hide. Well, tough. Okay? That book's right. There's some things in the book I don't like either, okay? But that's just too bad. It's accurate. You kind of rub me against the grain, too, once in a while. You read the book and say, God, I can't do that. Oh, man. He put the rules down for your good, though. He wants what's best for you. But the scoffers walk after their lust, and they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Huh. You know, the scoffers are going to think the way things are happening now is the way they've always been happening, called uniformitarianism, the idea made up in 1795 by James Hutton. God prophesied that 2,000 years ago. There's going to be scoffers in the last days. And the Bible says they're going to be willingly ignorant. That means dumb on purpose. They're willingly ignorant of two things. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old. You know, the Bible teaches God made the heavens by His word. He spoke everything into existence. God didn't lift a finger to make this universe. He didn't turn one screw, didn't pound one nail. He just spoke. Scientists have recently discovered that high energy sound waves hitting water can produce light. Wow. God said, let there be. He just spoke everything into existence. See, when He speaks, the universe is created. When He speaks, the waves lay down, the wind quits blowing, the dead come to life when He speaks. Did you know everything obeys the voice of God? Except us. He's having some trouble out of us right now, but He'll fix that one of these days. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Coming soon to a city near you. Yeah. Bible says God made the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Very fascinating verse. Greek, dumb on purpose. Boy, that's the truth. Heavens, there's three heavens mentioned in the Bible. Then the Bible says the world was overflowed with water and perished. This world was destroyed by a flood. See, the scoffers in the last days are ignorant of the creation and the flood, and that the world, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are preserved. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The scoffers are ignorant of that creation. They don't want to admit God created it because that means He owns it. And He makes the rules. They don't want to admit there was a flood because that means God has authority to judge His creation. And they sure don't want to admit there's a coming judgment. Peter prophesied that was going to happen 2,000 years ago. The woods are full of them now. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Adam lived 930 years and he died. Seth lived 912 years, and he died. One atheist tells the story how he got converted to Christ by reading Genesis chapter 5. He kept seeing that phrase, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, over and over and over again. He said, man, I'm going to die. Well, duh. You're going to die. I'm going to die someday. I'm going to try to make it the last thing I do, but it's going to happen, okay? It's going to happen to you too. Is the Bible accurate? Yes, sir. You're going to die. You ready for that? After this, the judgment. Not only are you going to die, you're going to be judged. God's going to judge you for everything you've ever said or thought or done. It's going to be a fearful day. Interesting thought. Light travels about 186,000 miles a second. It takes light about 2 seconds to get to the moon. If you were standing on the moon with a big telescope, you could see the world 2 seconds ago. It takes light 5 hours to get to Pluto. If you could get on Pluto with a big telescope, turn around, look at the world, you would see the world 5 hours ago. That stuff is still coming, isn't it? If you could get on the closest star, Alpha Centauri, it takes 4.5 years for light to get to Alpha Centauri. So if you're on Alpha Centauri looking back at the world, you could see everything happening 4.5 years ago. Now think what that means. Judgment Day, we get up in front of God, and God says, did you say this? No, sir, God, I didn't say that. Let's just move court out here. Everybody listen, here it comes. Ooh. Okay, God, you're right, I said it. He's got it all down pat, folks. But there's one thing. You want to get that videotape erased? I know one thing that'll do it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Man. Judgment Day, we're going to be way out there looking at my life, and there's Kent Hovind crawling around as a baby, and all of a sudden, oh, he disappears for a few minutes. Oh, there he is again, there he is. There'll be whole large times blocked out. Everybody's going to say, where'd he go? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Only the good things are going to be in that video. My 52-year video is going to be condensed down about 13 minutes. And I'm glad it's gone. Hey, if you don't have the blood of Christ on your life, you're in trouble. You ready to die? You're going to die one of these days. See, God made this world. He owns it. And He makes the rules. And every one of us is guilty of breaking His rules. He told us pretty clearly, thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't lie. How many have ever told a lie before? Get your hand up, or you're doing another one. Thou shalt not steal. How many ever stole something? Come on, you already told me you're a liar. Put your hand up. That's only 10. You should read the whole list, okay? There's a lot of stuff God told us not to do, and there is no question we're guilty of breaking His rules. We're going to die one day. We're going to be punished. After this, the judgment. The Bible is scientifically accurate. You're going to be judged for everything you've ever said or thought or done. Unless you got somebody to pay for it for you. And that's where Jesus comes in. He wants to substitute for your sins. How about it? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? 36 years ago, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. He said, you can say that again, son. I said, Lord, I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. He said, yep, I did. I said, Lord, I'd like you to forgive me and save me right now. He said, okay. Finish transaction. He's my propitiation. He's my substitute. I deserve to go to hell, but I'm not going. I've been forgiven. Where are you going if you die? Smoking or non-smoking? You better think about it. You're going to be dead for a really long time. All you get in this life is a little bitty dash between two dates. Someday there's going to be a cold rock with your name on it. Where are you going when you die? If you're a Christian, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Everybody can find something to do for God. I mean, the worst of you could serve as bad examples for heaven's sake. I mean, everybody can do something. What are you doing? Little boy came to Jesus one day and said, Jesus, you can have my lunch. You've been preaching all day. You're hungry. He said, Jesus, I don't have much. I only got 5 biscuits and 2 fish sticks, but you can have it. Jesus said, well, son, aren't you going to be hungry? He said, yeah, but you can have it, Jesus. You need it worse. Jesus said, well, hey, son, sit down right there. Watch this. He had 5,000 men plus women plus children. Everybody sat down in the green grass, the Bible says, by the Sea of Galilee. And he started making fish sandwiches and handing them out. After probably 20,000 people were full, there were 12 baskets full left over. You know, that little boy could have kept his lunch and fed himself. But he gave it away and fed himself. He got fed that day too, you know. Probably more than he would have got if he'd have kept it. Now, you can keep your life for yourself. You can work hard, make money, and buy a big boat, buy a nice car, buy a fast motorcycle. This is America, the land of the free and the home of the slave, or whatever. And you can get a lot of nice stuff for yourself. There's no question about that. You can live for yourself, and when you die, you're it. That's it. It's over. You know how much Howard Hughes left behind when he died? All of it. And some cigar-sucking, beer-drinking liberal is going to take over everything you accumulated in your lifetime. Man, you ought to do your giving when you're living. Then you're knowing where it's going. Okay? Find something you can invest your life in for the Lord. If you're a Christian, what are you doing for heaven's sake? I had two big old guys come down the aisle one time. I'm sitting getting ready to go speak at a church. These guys were huge. They walked down the aisle and I said, Lord, I'm coming home. I stood up to shake their hands and the guy said, can I give you a hug instead? I said, sure. He said, I got saved watching your tapes, and I gave it to my buddy here, and he got saved watching your tapes, and we've given out 500 copies and had 50 of our friends get saved watching these tapes. Thanks. I said, yeah. I don't understand it, folks. There's a war going on. Can't you find something to do? I mean, if you're not going to shoot, carry bullets, take care of the wounded, I mean, do something for the Lord with your life. If we can help, that's what we're here for. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
This has been Are the Bible and Pure Science Compatible? Presented by Kent Hovind. To receive a free catalog of all of our Bible teaching books and tapes, information on upcoming Bible conferences in your area, or details of our missionary outreach, call 800-977-2177 24 hours a day or on the web at compass.org.